Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the NCAA D1 Committee on Infractions press conference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If you should need assistance during the call, please press star, then zero, and an operator will assist you offline. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Emily James. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Andy. Welcome to today's press call to discuss the NCAA Division I Committee on Infractions decision regarding the University of Georgia. As members of the media, you should have received a link to both the press release and the public report, which contains the details of this case. This information can also be found on ncaa.org. The Committee on Infractions is an independent group comprised of representatives across the NCAA membership and the public. The members who reviewed this case are Carol Cartwright, President Emeritus at Kent State University, Greg Christopher, Chief Hearing Officer and Athletics Director at Xavier University, Thomas Hill, Senior Vice President for Student Affairs at Iowa State University, Roscoe Howard, attorney, Phil Matsuri, former University of Minnesota Athletics Director, Sankar Suryanarayan, University Counsel, Princeton University, and Rodney Epoff, law professor at the University of Missouri-Columbia. Greg Christopher will now discuss the findings and decisions of the infractions panel. Following his opening comments, he will take questions.
Thank you, Emily. The Committee on Infractions report details the findings and penalties in this case. Our comments today are designed to address your questions. However, the report stands on its own merits. This case centers on the University of Georgia's head swimming and diving coach and his attempt to keep a swimmer eligible for competition. During the fall 2013 semester, the head coach was concerned that a student athlete might not meet progress toward degree requirements and would not be eligible for competition the following semester. The head coach reached out to athletics administrators to discuss options, including adding an independent study class to ensure eligibility. A senior associate athletics director told the coach that adding the course was not recommended because classes for the current semester had ended. After told not to get involved and not to proceed with the independent study course, the head coach asked a professor in the psychology department to admit the student athlete into an independent study course. The professor agreed, and it was determined the student athlete would complete the work the following semester. The student athlete did not meet the prerequisites for the course, so the professor agreed to waive those requirements. And because the coach created the special arrangement, the student athlete received a benefit not available to the general student body and not allowed by NCAA rules. The head coach did not promote an atmosphere for compliance when he made this special arrangement for a student athlete to enroll in an independent study course to maintain his eligibility. The head coach received clear instruction not to contact professors about student athletes, and despite the instruction, he moved forward with contacting the professor multiple times about the course. The head coach acted contrary to university policy and to the advice and caution provided by the staff responsible for athletic academic services and athletics eligibility certification. The coach also did not consult with the compliance office. Penalties and corrective measures include public reprimand and censure, a fine of $5,000, a one-year show cause order for the head coach from April 4th, 2014 through April 3rd, 2015. And during this time, the head coach is restricted from all recruiting duties during that period. The panel adopted the university's suspension of the head coach beginning in April 2014 and continued that suspension. The head coach will be suspended for a total of 9 regular season competitions. The public report contains a number of additional details. So this concludes my opening remarks, and we'll go back to Emily.
Thanks, Greg. Andy, can you please explain how reporters can indicate they would like to ask a question?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then 1. You'll hear a tone indicating that you've been placed into queue, and you can remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. And it'll be just a moment for the first question. And we'll go to the line of Pat Ford with Yahoo Sports. Go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, hi, Greg. I was just curious, the show cause order, does that affect his ability to coach at Georgia past the nine-meet suspension, or is that in case he attempts to leave the school and get employment elsewhere?
Now, the show cause refers to, obviously, it applies to the head coach, and if he should leave Georgia, it would certainly apply to the new institution, but the phrase essentially will cover his time at Georgia. So from a recruiting standpoint, he's restricted on recruiting until April 3rd, I believe it is, the specific date, 2015, and then the suspension applies to the nine regular season competitions.
Our next question comes from the line of Chip Towers with AJC. Go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, Mr. Christopher, I'm just wondering, was this charge lessened from a level one to a level two, and if so, what was the thinking there?
Well, I think you'll find in the report that it is a level two level two violation, and you'll see, I think it's in page one and two of the report. If you flip into that, you'll see that the parties did disagree. And if I could put you into the setting of the room, you've got on one side the enforcement staff, on the other side the institution, and then in front of us you've got the head coach. And ultimately, as in many cases, there's a lot of agreement, but there's also a few places where there's disagreement, and it's up to the panel to decide where to come down. And our consensus decision was the level two. So page one and two talks about the level that we wound up on, and then the corresponding penalties and how they tie to level two, I think, are on page 11 and 12.
And ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, any questions, please press star one at this time.
Seeing no other questions, that concludes our comments for today. Thank you again for joining us. A recording of this teleconference will be available in the near future at ncaa.org.